Let me put it this way. If 1 year from now, you're not using Darkmail, it's because you enjoy knowing that the NSA is reading your unencrypted emails.
Hi, I'm Zach Weissmuller for Reason TV. We're here with Ladar Levison, owner of Lavabit, the email service that was used by former NSA contractor Edward Snowden. After Snowden's identity was revealed, Levison shut down the service and put up a message on his website saying that to keep it running would force him to become complicit in crimes against the American people. Ladar, thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you for having me, Zach. I'm hoping that by the time I die, I'll be known for more than just being Edward Snowden's email provider.
Well, before we get into that and before we get into what these crimes against the American people might have been, I want to just address the fact that for several months after you shut down the service, you weren't allowed to speak a detail about why you had to do this. Was being under that kind of gag order hard and frustrating for you?
Oh, certainly. If I had been able to talk about what had transpired, I may not have had to shut down my service. The thing about our country is that if you're allowed to speak, you at least have the ability, the opportunity to change the circumstances of your situation. And I wasn't afforded that opportunity. We're talking about some of the worst abuse of prior restraint on speech that I can imagine. And there's still details about this case that I can't discuss that I would like to. Now that said, come October, the most important detail about the case was unsealed, primarily because I managed to muster the resources to appeal it.
And that detail was?
That they were demanding my SSL key and that they wanted to use that key to masquerade as Lavabit on the internet.
It's important to point out that Lavabit, part of the appeal of it was that it had extra levels of encryption that were supposed to prevent third parties from being able to look in and snoop on what's being sent back and forth. I mean, I'm assuming even you were not able to look at what
certainly.
Was being sent.
You know, the goal of my service was really to remove the service provider from the surveillance equation. That is to say, there was nothing I could do to protect messages before they arrived at my server or once they got onto a person's home computer. But what I focused on was ensuring that while they were stored on my servers, they would be protected. And what the feds did is they wanted to intercept the user's password so that they could access those contents stored on disk, access the contents before they were encrypted. And I had a real problem with that, particularly since they were going to be doing it so indiscriminately and without any kind of transparency back to me. Now, presumably, users who were not under investigation, their communications would have been filtered out. But of course, the FBI, and it was the FBI, not the NSA that I was dealing with in this case, were completely unwilling to provide any kind of transparency or auditing capability back to me to confirm that that was in fact what they were doing.
You're saying that you were willing to comply with some of their requests. Why would you even work with them on that limited basis?
It's an excellent question. Personally, I felt I had no obligation to collect that information and I had no obligation to turn those keys over. But when faced with a protracted legal battle over whether or not they could collect my SSL keys, and realizing that if I lost that battle, I would have to shut down my server in order to adhere to my own moral, ethical, and political principles, and balance that against the harm it would do to the other 400,000 people using my service, I decided that turning over the meta information that they could have collected anyways without my SSL key would have been an appropriate compromise, specifically if I could guarantee, like I said, that they were only able to access the information that they were legally authorized to collect.
The timing of the shutdown has led some people, dare I say most people, to assume that the user that they're targeting was Edward Snowden. Can you confirm that today?
I'm still not allowed legally to discuss the subject of the investigation. I think it's interesting that the entire world can speculate on who the subject was, but I, who happens to be at the heart of one of these one aspect of this overall controversy, can't participate in that same political debate because of these restrictions on my speech.
Is there any movement on that to have that information opened up? Is there any hope of that happening in the near future?
I'm not quite sure what I can say here,
okay.
But I'm going to go out on a limb and say that my legal team is trying to get more of the case unsealed, shed more light onto some of the other proceedings that occurred in relation to this matter. The subject of the investigation, I don't think, is going to be one of the items that's revealed.
Do you believe that there's information in these sealed records that's in the public interest that should be out in the open?
Certainly. And I think there's information totally unrelated to this case that I was exposed to that should be out in the open. But unfortunately, I'm not legally allowed to disclose any of it.
What are your thoughts about what Edward Snowden did?
Certainly, I'm happy that the information that he exposed was revealed to the public. I think they have a right to know. I think it's unfortunate that he had to be the one to reveal it and not from official government sources. Understanding that these types of threats exist and prompting a very real discussion about whether these practices are right or wrong and what technological methods we can use to protect people's communications en masse have all been triggered by these disclosures. And I think they're discussions that we need to have. I think those of us in the community, the security community, have known for a long time that our government was capable of this. We just didn't think they would actually engage in this kind of activity, effectively acting like an organized cyber criminal gang.
You mentioned that perhaps these revelations have made the general public more aware of the need for security technologies, encryption technology. Do you think that these sort of tools are going to start going mainstream now?
Oh, certainly. Yeah, I can say in the month leading up to my shutdown, paid registrations jumped by 2.5 times.
Oh, wow.
You know, it was my best month on record. And immediately after that best month on record, while my revenue was continuing to climb, I had to shut down.
Wow. So, I mean, to walk away from that
and it wasn't easy.
And to go against something as powerful as the federal government, that seems like an incredibly difficult and trying task. What made you decide to do that?
When I shut down, my big fear was that they were going to show up, arrest me, confiscate all my servers, and start rummaging through the 50 million or so messages that were stored on them, many of which belonged to free account holders that were unencrypted. I figured if I was lucky, in a couple of months, I would be out searching for a job. I never expected people to take notice the way they did. And I think it only goes to show just what kind of climate we're living in now after all of the disclosures this past summer. And it just goes to show how much of an awareness we have. And I can probably thank some of my higher profile users for drawing so much attention.
This is a business that you spent 10 years of your life building. It was on its way up. You walked away from it. Do you regret doing that? Do you think that you did the right thing?
Oh, I know I did the right thing now. When I shut down, I knew I was making the right decision in accordance with my own moral beliefs. I wasn't sure my user base would understand, the public would understand. I was afraid they would focus on the government's claim that they were only going to be looking at a handful of users and not realize just how wrong I thought this was. And the public reaction has really reinforced my belief that what they were trying to do was wrong and that they were trying to keep it secret to avoid having to pay the political price for what they were trying to do.
What's it like going up against the most powerful government in the world? I mean, is that frightening to you? Do you ever get scared or is it frustration? What do you feel on a day-to-day basis when you're thinking about going against the federal government of the United States?
I try not to think about it. Certainly there's an element of fear, but from my perspective, you're not supposed to be afraid of your own government, particularly if you're doing nothing wrong. And I wasn't breaking the law. I wasn't doing anything wrong. Now, I realized that there were members of the Department of Justice that wouldn't share that view and that might come after me no matter what, but I had to hold true to my beliefs. It was precisely what that statement on my website said. I did not want to become complicit in crimes against the American people. Because if you assume that snooping on Americans en masse is in fact a crime, then providing or facilitating access to those communications and not telling anybody that you were being forced to do it would be complicit in that crime. And I truly believe that, and I felt it was my obligation, so to speak, higher obligation than that of a national law, to not be complicit in that. And the best I could do at the time was shut down.
You, in collaboration with Silent Circle, which is another encrypted email and security service that shut down their email in the wake of the NSA revelations, are creating a new venture called Darkmail. Mm-hmm. What is Darkmail? When can we expect to see it? And how is it different? And how will you avoid the pitfalls of what happened with LavaBit?
LavaBit and Silent Circle both employed encryption technology on the server. We relied on SSL to provide an encrypted bridge between a user's home computer and the server. That allowed us to secure people's communications without needing to change any of the legacy email protocols that we've been using since the 1970s. Mm. Darkmail is really sort of the admission that that model no longer works, and that what we truly need to do is push the encryption down to a person's computer, to their smartphone, to effectively remove the service provider from the surveillance equation by making it technologically impossible for them to access the contents of an email message. Mm.
So my device would be doing the actual encrypting, not on a network.
Exactly. And where the difficulty comes in is building a set of protocols and systems behind it that facilitate that process so that everybody can take advantage of it.
Who do you see using this? Is this something for the general?
I see everybody using this. Mom, pop, grandma, your unborn child. I really think that this is the future of communications, that we've realized in the last year that unless you're encrypting stuff on your device, specifically to a key that only the other party that you're intending to communicate with can decrypt, mm-hmm. then you can't assume it's secure.
So why would mom, pop, grandma use encrypted email? A lot of people just don't see the need for it. They say, I don't have anything to hide.
Let me put it this way. If 1 year from now, you're not using Darkmail, it's because you enjoy knowing that the NSA is reading your unencrypted emails.
All of this kind of rests on the proposition that the average person still cares about privacy. And a lot of the cultural trends seem to be pointing in the other direction. Everybody posts everything on Facebook and Twitter, and everything is public.
It really depends on your definition of privacy. To me, privacy is about retaining control about what other people learn about yourself. Hmm. And I think what we're about to see is an emergence of a new set of standards and technologies that return that control to the user.
So we have all these NSA revelations, and people might be wondering, what should I do with all this information? What, in your mind, what are the best ways to fight back against NSA surveillance?
I think there are really three avenues, three battlefields, so to speak. There's the legal front, the courtroom, where certainly I'm doing everything I can to restore trust in our internet service providers. But I can only really address one small portion of a much larger issue with my case. There's the technological front, where I'm working to develop a new set of standards that will hopefully alleviate this problem, at least when it comes to email. But ultimately, I think this is really an issue that needs to be addressed in the political, with Congress taking action and really setting the bar for what is right and what is wrong when it comes to government surveillance. And the only way that's going to happen is if the American public makes it known, clearly known, what we want our tax dollars being used to do. Are we okay with billions of American tax dollars being spent to spy on millions of Americans? Personally, I'd prefer if my money was used in a slightly different way.
Ladar Levison, thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you for having me, Zach.
For Reason TV, I'm Zach Weissmuller.